is episode number 31, if you've been keeping count, but you don't have to do that, because...
We aren't, because I forgot already, honestly.
If you look on Spotify, it tells you, but YouTube, I just went with the name, because why put the number? It doesn't matter. Some podcasts do it, but that's because they have like 500 episodes. Maybe when I get over 100, maybe that's when I'll do it.
That'll be the time, dude.
Big news in the world today.
Yeah.
I am now another statistic, because before I was a statistic of a heroin addict in America, and a heroin addict who had overdosed, a heroin addict who also used meth and Xanax, on and all this cool shit. Obviously, many accolades, you know, many people knew my name. It's fine.
It's no big deal.
They were in the justice system. It's fine. But I also became a statistic because 2 days ago from when we are recording this, I lost my job.
Your job.
My trabaja.
Trabajo.
My trabajo I lost. Gone. My job I lost.
I like that.
Just a bunch of nonsense. I'm refraining from using curse words and things for the first few minutes of this podcast, but I was pretty upset about it. So yeah. I never really lost a job in that type of a way where I actually felt like I was putting in everything only to be just pushed out the door as if I were trash. Like, I was a worthless person, and I knew that this wasn't true. I knew that I went above and beyond for everything, and I didn't ask for anything. I never asked for anything over what I was promised from the beginning. So when people were talking about losing jobs, obviously, I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, yeah. I was never like, good. Who cares, dude? It's just a job. I know it's a way to feed your family, and if it's something you've been doing for years, it's a horrible, horrible thing to happen. But it's just like when someone gets older after they've had a few girlfriends and they've gotten their hearts broken, love songs start to make sense to you and you start crying when you see certain things on TV, like something will just hit you and you'll just be like, why, dude, why? So,
love you.
I love you, dude. So when this happened, I was overcome first with anger. So there's, you know, there's the five stages. I can't recall. I know that there's anger, there's denial, the five stages of grief. There's depression, there's acceptance, and then there's another one. I went through all of those things, but lucky for me, I had at least made a good name for myself in some aspects of construction, because obviously I was a roofer before. And literally 20 minutes after I had lost my job, I got hired at another place. But for that, it was maybe a half hour. But maybe for that half hour, it was just swirling in my head, just horrible, horrible things. Just basically being on the verge of a nervous breakdown. My very expensive phone that I just had replaced through insurance shattered, and only half of the screen works, which is why I'm not posting on Instagram right now. And then, you know, some stuff at home, and then losing my job was put on top of it. Damn. So terrible things come in threes.
I was just going to say, damn, you and I was just hearing somebody at work today, too. Literally, the last couple of days have been hell. It's been just one thing after another. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's what it is. And
it's that time of the year, dog.
It is. And I mean, I'm now coming to terms with it, and I'm now justifying it in my head. Like, I know that I'm gonna be better now because this didn't break me. This motivated me to be better than what these people were saying that I was, because in order to let me go, they had to think I was no longer a pivotal part of the team, which I know is not true. They're going to be screwed and they just don't know it. But that's the main part of all of that type of stuff. When it comes to dealing with horrible news and grief and in situations like these, where you have two options, either you can let it break you, or you can let it motivate you to be like, I'm going to show you, you should have never made this decision. And that's the way, the road that I'm trying to take. And of course, it's not a one-time decision that you just go, I'm doing that one. It's something you got to put it down and then keep hammering on it until you're to a point a year down the road where you're like, see, look what I did. You suck.
Look at this. Yeah. I don't know why it's on paper, but look.
I got a Nobel Prize now, you bitch.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to, you know, get my contractor's license, and then I'm going to put them out of business. You know?
Finally.
Big deal. Big
Finally.
Deal.
Finally.
They're going to go out of business, and it's fine. I'm not saying the name of the business, but you know where I live. You could take a guess. We're in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. It's a roofing company. Take a guess. Roofing's in the title, but I can't say anything more. No more. Maybe the county. Who knows? Just think about that. Just put those things together. I'm not telling you anything. But hate them. Anyways, now that I've gotten that off of my chest, because it's brand new news. And it's weird dealing with something like that after the only news that people like you and I and a lot of the people listening or the people on Instagram, being addicts, literally your only bad news is like, the plug fell through. Yeah. I thought I had, you know, a couple points. I thought I had a little bag left. I don't.
My fucking syringe broke. Because yeah. That was usually my problem.
Yeah. Or we lost the pipe, or you dropped your stuff in the couch. Those are the types of things that drug addicts have as bad news.
Yeah.
Because you can hear any other news and you're just like,
sucks.
Do I get money from this? Or
do you have a bag right now?
Do you have $40 then? Like 45.
Oh, your mom died. Oh, what's she going to do?
Is she
going to
leave you money?
What's she doing with her?
Vicodin?
Jewelry?
Does she have Percocets?
Yeah.
I swear I thought I heard you say
that. Can I have her car?
Yeah. To sell.
Please.
Can I trade her car?
Okay, I'll take the house.
So yeah, that's the difference between the made up like fairy tale world that drug addicts live in against like juxtaposed to the real life of responsible adult stuff happening.
Which is still new to me, but
it's still kind of new to me too, because
which is weird to hear.
Yeah. It's weird to hear what?
Hear you say that.
That it's new to me?
Yeah.
It is, because my wife, she does all the bill stuff. I just go to work for all of the money.
Right.
So I don't know how to do a lot of that stuff, because growing up, I always either had a girlfriend do it or I was a drug addict who didn't do those things. Like, I wouldn't know what to do, how to file my taxes.
I learned how to pay my court fines online.
Okay, I knew that kind of stuff. I know you can go online and do that kind of stuff. But
that's why I never paid them before.
You hear that, guys?
Yeah,
that's on. Why.
Yes.
Not because he never had a job or anything like that. That's weird. But yeah, it's a trip to think about, like, how many, so many more things are better being in the position that we're in, being in recovery, active in recovery, and not focusing on this one thing that completely consumed our lives for so many years.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And then to have, but then to have bumps in the road on this new road that you're like, oh, it's a new road.
Right.
New roads don't have potholes.
Yeah, there's potholes.
But new roads don't have potholes. But then
it's up to you to fill those potholes.
Lightning strikes, or you know, damn, you got to fill those potholes.
Fill your own potholes,
and you can fill them with shit if you want. You know what I mean? If you just eat enough food, you
this
like
is,
a lot
a question,
of bread.
This is a question you got to ask yourself when they're filled. Are they filled?
Are they only half filled?
I mean,
are they half empty or half full potholes on the road that is new now?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's so many different like metaphors put together. No one's going to know what that means, because
I don't. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I've been lost. But yeah. I'd love to hear from other people. What was the first, like, because most people have the same situation. They started doing drugs kind of young, they didn't really, you know, keep a job through the time. And then when they got out of it and they got back into the real world and started working, like, what was the first legit speed bump that you hit that you were just like, God, I don't know how to deal with this? Because usually I would just go, fuck it, I'm getting high, and now I don't have to deal with it because it's over. Like, that's the most going with the flow type people are drug addicts who just don't give a shit.
I got fired that one time, remember?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, you got fired from the place I got fired from.
And then
they hired you back.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a completely different situation as far as I know, but it's
I saw it coming. That's what I was getting at.
See,
that wasn't anything
totally,
like that. I saw it coming.
Yeah, I totally did not. That was the last thing that I ever expected to happen. And that's like the first true test. Like the first true test of your willpower when something that bad happens, where you're like, I have a house, I have a kid and a wife who completely depend on me to have this fucking job. And when all that goes away, what's your first thought? Is your first thought, fuck it, I'm gonna go get $40 out and I'm gonna go fuck my life up?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Is it,
no,
what can I do to go make more money and just keep a career alive, keep myself and my family alive?
Well,
and
keep us afloat. While I'm going through my turmoil, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the very first few seconds, as soon as I find out, the first thought in my head would be, I can't wait to get high later because fuck this. I don't know how to do it. That's what I would have done before. I never knew how to deal with that shit. I would have been like,
but that's what I'm saying.
Lit now.
Now, being in the position you're in now, what do you think your first thought would be? What mine was? Where do I go now?
Right.
I need to get a job today or I'm not sleeping tonight. That's the way that shit works.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty interesting feeling for me, because that was my usual thing, would be like, oh, cool, this is an excuse and a justification and a reason for me to revert back and relapse and do stupid shit. And then I have a good excuse when someone's like, why would you do this? Why would you give up everything you had? Be like, well, I lost my job and I don't know what to do. And it's not bad for the people that did relapse. That's just what happened to them. They were in a position in their life where that was the only thing they could do. And maybe it's going to take a couple more times of doing that to actually get it in to the point where their first thought, their first impulse isn't, oh, drugs. It's, oh, I need to fix this like an adult. And that's a very interesting dynamic.
The thing that kind of put me in my place about being an adult was when I was in rehab and they're like, okay, time to get your mind right, get a job, fucking do some classes, do something. You got to do all this. And I'm like, okay, I could do this. But at that time, I was getting all the help from them, right?
Yeah.
Every single little thing.
Yeah, it's still being kind of facilitated by another person.
Right. And then just like, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I got the job right away. You already had helped me out. But it was just everything else that was going on with me at the time. I was like, okay, I got to be back. I got to do all this shit to fix what I fucking wronged. But I don't know. It's just like all these things were coming at me, and I was like, how do other
people do these things and not lose their shit? It's the same thing. I guess it's the same thing with everything else. Like when you start something that you've never done, or you're doing something you've never done, it's strange and awkward to do these things, but then after a while it's second nature and you're just like, oh, I'm doing this thing and I'm not thinking, and it's not about thought, it's muscle memory, or you just know all of the steps so well that it's just like mindlessly autopilot. You can just go do that stuff, like paying bills or renewing the registration on the car or paying the car insurance. Because it would just be like, oh, my registration's up, we better stay on the back streets. It was never don't drive until you get a new sticker.
But I need cigarettes, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
And it was like, shit, I didn't have my license forever. It got suspended forever. And all I had to do was like call the MVD and be like, hey, can I have my license? And they're like, oh, you don't have one? Like, no, I lost it. And then it got suspended. And then it was figured out in a day. I was like, oh, shit, I could have had this for this whole time. But I just never got pulled over. It was crazy. But yeah. then as soon as I get my license, whoo, pulled over.
Sick.
Immediately. Dope. For going like 76 and a 75.
See, well, I'll be too paranoid to do any of that.
You should be. Yeah. I mean, you definitely, that's the main first step you need to take in being an adult is getting a fucking driver's license.
Yes, sir.
Because that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, most people do this at 16, 17. That's the age where that's supposed to happen.
I wasn't.
Not slamming drugs.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Yeah. But shit, even if that would have happened before, it was just like the first thing I would have done was get my fucking license because then it's like, oh, I'm going to skateboard or walk or try to get a ride everywhere to get drugs. Get a fucking license. And you had a car waiting at your parents' house that you could have just taken.
I had two cars at this point because I had that Thunderbird that was outside my house, like a 90-something.
See? And what the fuck? And this whole time.
My dad also took the car away from you and was like, you're never driving this thing again because I fucked it up.
And, well, yeah, and you didn't have a fucking license. So you should have never been driving in the first place.
Baby mama did, but, you know.
Yeah, well, we all know what she is. I mean, at least you and I. And you're talking about the first one.
Yeah.
Nightmare. I wonder if she watches this. Do you think she watches this?
I don't think so.
That would be hilarious
Hi,
if she watches.
Hi, if you do.
What's up, Sid? Yeah. How's it going?
Keep your chin up.
Yeah, keep your chin up.
But kid. Seriously, do.
So yeah, this is going to be out Saturday. And just want to mention this real quick. This will be out Saturday. And I will be guest hosting on The Philosopher and the Comedian yet again because the co-host Adam Romano is getting married the weekend.
What are you guys going to be doing that day? Is it just you two?
No, we're going to have Austin Farrell. He is part of the Mojave Community Connection along with Mojave.
I like that.
That should just be the name.
Yeah.
Mojave Comedy Connection. Change it to Mojave. Mojave.
Well, that's cool.
Connection.
Mojave, though.
Yeah, he's part of the Mojave community. God damn it! The gotcha, Mojave dude. Comedy Connection, fucking along gotcha. With our old guest, Lucky Borelli.
Yeah, boy.
So yeah, that'll be interesting because it's a person that I've literally never talked to before. Although we've done that before, we didn't really talk to Cheeto Guido too much, Mario or Leo Flowers or Trevor Tyson. Before we had them on, but this will be the second one in person where I'm going to talk to a person who I know nothing about him. I just know his name is Austin. That's as far as I've gotten. So far the question I have is, so there's a city named Austin.
Yeah.
And he's going to go, yeah,
it's me.
And then I'm going to go, Mason? Yeah. Anything to add? There's also Houston.
I knew a guy named Austin once.
Yes. I've known a couple Austins, actually.
Like, he would be, oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Where are you from? Here?
Oh, not Austin? Fuck.
Oh, well, that was going to be my next question. All right. Well, good night, everybody. Yeah. Like,
see you next week.
See you next Tuesday. Oh, cunt. That's crazy. Yeah, it's kind of it's a little bit nerve-wracking. I don't know if a lot of people on podcasts talk about what podcasting actually feels like. I know that I've heard it a little bit on Whitney Cummings' podcast when she had what was her name? I can't remember. One of the last ones over the last 3 weeks. And they were just like, this is weird. Like, it's a room. But theirs are all different. They have producers,
yeah.
And they get clips brought to them and shit. This is 100% just him and I are in a room alone while my wife, my kid, and her grandmother are inside the house.
Just kidding. Come on out.
Yeah. Hey, no. Well, here's the producer.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's me. And like, you know, all the stuff on YouTube or Spotify, that's all me typing the stuff. But I feel like it's weird to just say we, because then it's like, who is this? Who is we, when I could just say the guys from the SFU podcast.
Yeah, it's like this.
I'm talking in kind of like in the third person.
Damn, boy.
But I started just saying we because I'm like, fuck it. Who am I kidding?
Who am I really?
Who am I? I became really philosophical about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I'm going to be on The Philosopher and the Comedian on Sunday.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Which
there you
go. I believe comes out Thursday.
Thursday, dude. New comes episode out today.
Yes, there's a new episode out today, I think. And, well, when this comes out on Saturday, it will have been out for 2 days already. But
Deuce.
You guys can go look at it. Just go on The Philosopher and the Comedian on YouTube. But make sure you also go to the SFU podcast and you subscribe. And then go through and just like all the videos. And then
you guys are probably all subscribed to a bunch of different, like, whatever. You get a bunch of emails from places you don't really care about.
Yeah, or notifications about what I mean?
Like, I get
dumb
emails about subscriptions that, like, I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. And now I'm like, God, you're fucking annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, just we release like one video a week.
You get one notification.
Yeah.
Every week.
And just, you know, watch it. Skim through it. Especially if you're a person that has any kind of mental health issues or any kind of addiction problems and things like that. And even if you don't, it's something to, you can hear the inside baseball about this type of shit. Or, you know, we talk about jail sometimes. We talk about a lot of different stuff. So it's really, you know, it's pretty wide open for being something that is categorized under mental health and comedy. Because the comedy is kind of just there to protect us from, just because the way that we talk normally is just a lot of filthy nonsense and, you know, some things that could be misconstrued in bad ways. And comedy kind of protects us on that. Plus, we're huge fans of comedy. And that's really, when we started this, it was like, we want this to be funny sometimes, but we also know that real life isn't always funny, and it's got to be better to be more authentically who we are, which we're you know, like Chris D'Elia, we're silly gooses.
Authentically who we are? You want to know something? Like,
we are the youth of the nation.
Just, like, this camera trips me the fuck out.
Yeah, well, there's lights, like, and a camera.
I try to do this. Try not to do this thing too much. You know?
The Ricky Bobby thing?
And again, off topic, but I would have been the worst actor.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, can you turn the monitors so I could...
I want to see me.
I'm like this.
See, but the screen's small enough to where it's like, you can kind of see what's going on, but you don't really know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, when... in a few minutes, when we whoosh... the world famous whoosh. It's pretty famous.
That's a thing.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna do another passage from the meth equals sorcery book.
I want to read it this week
by Mr. Steve Box.
Fucking love that.
You want to read the actual?
Yeah, I'll read it this time.
You want to read? Oh, you want to read the paragraph? Okay. Yeah, I thought you wanted to read the whole book, and I was like, don't do that.
You're questioning my fucking intelligence, and I know it.
No, I don't need to. I don't need to question your intelligence. I am very aware of...
Okay, you didn't have to say that, but that's fine.
Very aware of your intelligence.
Fine. Thank you.
But yeah, so just a quick thing that's completely off topic of things that we usually talk about. So Joe Biden, when he got into office, he was like, you know, he talked about pulling troops out and stopping wars. About a month in, he bombed Syria. I don't know if a lot of people know that. I know people in the addiction community, they tend to stay in their community and they don't really go out and kick, like, why pay attention to the world when it's, you got shit going on with your own life, who cares? But it's kind of a weird thing. Like, it just goes to show you can't trust what anybody says when they go into office. They're all basically tweakers. You know what I mean?
They're just puppets from the, like...
The Rockefellers, dude.
I'm not trying to go conspiracy there.
Luminati.
Okay, I was a little bit, but I wasn't.
Luminati.
Shut up.
Luminati. And the whole fucking Texas snow bullshit with sublimation. They didn't understand.
Dude.
The snow doesn't melt. It turns to a vapor, not water. Like, you learn this shit in second grade. They do... they do science experiments to show you sublimation from snow.
It was fake, dude.
It's like crazy shit. They really think that the entire area, just miles upon miles of land, they knew how to make fake snow fall from the sky.
So you're gonna tell me what? Now, next thing you're gonna tell me is that Bigfoot doesn't exist?
What? Next thing you're gonna tell me is the Loch Ness Monster.
Jeffrey Epstein did do it?
You're gonna tell me that Jeffrey Epstein isn't the Loch Ness Monster? Yeah, that's a new one.
Yeah,
that's new, and it's super true. But and he's still alive.
Where are you at?
He's still alive. Jeffrey Epstein is the Loch Ness Monster. He's still alive. They killed Bigfoot and put him in place of Jeffrey Epstein in prison. What the fuck's
they
up?
They shaved him? I wonder how long that would have took.
Not very long. No? His hair's thin.
Oh.
It's a very thin hair. Yeah. His name was Jim.
Old thin hair.
Jim Bigfoot.
Jim Thin Hair Bigfoot.
Yeah, middle name Thin Hair. Yeah, he was some kind of Korean, I think.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, some kind of Korean.
Yeah.
Bobby Lee said that they don't grow much Bobby hair.
Hair, yeah.
Ooh.
Blobby B.
Blobby B, dude. Yeah. We fucking love Bobby Lee. So
I was just watching Tiger Belly vlogs before you picked me up again, and I've seen them all. But they're just so fucking funny.
Yeah, Gilbert's really funny when he gets off on his things. I wish he would go back to doing stand-up. Like, because he only did it one time, and Bobby said that it was actually really funny, and he is a funny dude.
He should, like, start a podcast. He's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, just hearing him on the mic with them, like, is hilarious.
Yeah, he probably could do pretty... I think he does Twitch.
Oh.
Which is... But I just can't get into watching other people play video games and shit. Like, I did that when I was a kid.
Do you guys want to watch me suck at video games? Because I could do that.
Like, I used to watch people play Grand Theft Auto or Left 4 Dead. Like, that was fun to watch.
Ooh, Left 4 Dead. We should play that one of these days. It'd be fun.
But, like, Call of Duty, just to, like, watch somebody do the same exact shit over and over. Just, like, headshot, headshot, headshot.
You're doing this a lot?
Yeah, it's like, fuck, so much waiting. It's like watching someone play golf.
No, thanks.
You want to watch me on Twitch play Tiger Woods golf for 6 hours straight until the middle of the fucking night?
Until the 18th hole?
It's got to be just children, right? Like, how many grown adults?
The ones who use them for cheats.
Oh, is that what they do?
Yeah.
Like walkthroughs and shit like that?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because I remember there used to be like that Codebreaker book.
Now this video is
there was walkthrough books.
This video is like, okay, you know this area of the map? Go here. There's 50...
There's an invisible wall that you can walk into and someone will blow you.
You're going to walk off the grid. Jeffrey Epstein's there.
And then Jeffrey Epstein's going to be there with Jared, Jared from Subway.
They do that. Walkthroughs. Don't care.
Don't
fucking care.
It's so crazy the things that get so fucking popular, like
a cajillion views.
It was like PewDiePie was like one of the original dudes that's like, hey, watch me play video games, and that was before Twitch existed.
And then who, Ninja? But he was on Twitch, huh? I don't even know who. I don't even know what he does other than play video games or what he has done.
There's so many dudes that make hundreds of thousands of dollars and they just play video games.
Guess what?
It's stupid. Fuck them. Yeah, it takes... I mean, I guess it's a skill, but is it a real life skill?
No.
It's a virtual life skill, because what are you going to do? You're going to get out in the real world and be like, oh my God, this baby's on fire. Let me help. Oh, nothing's happening. Bye.
It's going to be like the guy in South Park playing Guitar Hero?
Oh, yeah. Just I know it all by memory, dude. Yeah. I know fucking Buckethead just all through memory.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
That's what it is.
God.
That's what it was.
But at least there was that, like, what was it? Rocksmith or something like that that had
rock
a legit...
Band?
No, not Rock Band.
No?
It's not Rock Band. It's a literal real guitar. And the screen shows you the strings and what to hit. And you're playing the actual song. But there's easy, medium, hard, same thing.
Huh.
So you're, like, skipping notes, but you're learning how to pluck a guitar. I don't know if it teaches you chords or whatever. I'm sure it must. But it shows you just like, no, it's like you could play Sweet Child of Mine and it's like 12, 14, 15, 16, 14. Bam. Went off on a tangent.
That's it.
Shit happens, you know what I mean? Time flies when you're having sex.
Scrum?
Time flies when you're eating Scrum.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, right. Tom Segura. So, everybody, this is... That was super loud.
So loud.
This is Meth Equals Sorcery. Oh. This is Meth Equals Sorcery by Steve Box. I say his name very aggressively. This is by Steve Box.
Yeah.
Over 100,000 in print. Fucking amazing.
You have one of them.
I have one of those 100,000.
You do, yeah.
So it's worth about 50 billion. 50,
I think his
50
hands
kajillion.
Touch them too. So.
I doubt it. No, but 50 kajillion dollars, you can
blood,
have it.
Sweat and tears.
So I'll pick a spot.
Now I get to prove to the world that I could read.
Barely. Let's go with. I gotta find one that's not like soups dupes long. There's also like sorcerers. So
okay,
you can also stop when something hilarious, or I can stop you when something hilarious is said.
Well, first things first, let me just read the first sentence.
Let's see if you can do it.
Those making meth are stirring their potion. Okay,
makes sense.
While it bubbles and smokes, adding this ingredient and that, then extracting, separating, making poisonous gas to bring forth the finished product.
Is this a fucking Mother Goose nursery
rhyme?
No,
this is witchcraft.
Adding,
that's what it says.
Adding this and that.
You asked me what it was, and
it's the intro to Powerpuff Girls.
This is witchcraft, dude.
Sugar and spice. Everything nice.
There's a pact with evil spirits here that is unseen and generally unspoken. While they are stirring and adding ingredients, the anticipation is controlling. The power
is he
gives
rhyming?
To them. I think so, yeah. That's what... He's Dr. Seuss of the meth world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The power gives to them and admiration from addicts is overwhelming. Addictive itself. So, like, just the hustle of it all, like, having people come back. And...
I'm thinking that's what he's saying. I get it.
Yeah.
They're addicted to the... To the actual process of cooking, they're addicted to the money, they're addicted to the power that
bagging.
They have over other people.
That was my
like,
part.
I have a new batch of dope. You may enter.
What y'all want to do?
Yeah. You may enter.
Oh, okay. They have a proud look, a lying tongue, and a heart that.
Just don't
that
quit.
Say? What does that say? I can read. Shut up. What does that say right there? Deviseth.
Yes, it's deviseth.
Deviseth, yeah.
Deviseth. It's like devise, but the
wicked imaginations.
Bible version.
Yeah. Well,
they deviseth wicked imaginations. This has to be read in like a real fancy British accent.
Hands that shed innocent blood. Feet
Whoa.
That run swiftly to mischief. They witness falsely and speak lies and sow resentment and discord between friends and brethren.
This sounds like he's just saying nonsense about just any bad person.
Bishop Larry Gators must have helped him write that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Satan.
I think it was him.
Yeah. It's probably his alter ego.
Oh, in case you guys didn't know, and this is going to explain a lot, the previous paragraph describes meth users, makers,
whoa,
and dealers to an almost exact point.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't a meth maker technically have to be a dealer, too? Because he has to sell it to somebody to sell.
Well, yeah. And wouldn't they have more than one point?
Yeah. They'd have to have many points. Who's going to cook one point?
Me. This guy.
Shake and bake.
You feel me? And then, I know, because I used to be all these things also. The above is also the seven deadly sins in Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 11:19 says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death.
Yeah, I don't think he was talking about meth in the Bible, though.
Do you think he... Okay.
He's putting all of the attention on... This wasn't me being a drug addict who was sucking dicks for money for meth. This was Satan pulling the strings on me and making me do horrible things that now I can, you know, I can push off on other people.
This guy sounds like like a jailhouse Bible thumper.
Oh, for sure. He is. That's 100%.
Thank you.
He's a born-again Christian. That's the only people that get this fucked up and hardcore about Jesus are people that were dirtbags who then were like, they got scared by somebody, and then they were like, you know, Jesus can help. And then they go, oh, you're right, I forgot about Jesus. See, when I was sucking all those dicks and smoking all that meth.
I always, like, tried to do that in jail, and, like, it was only out of, like...
Suck dicks and smoke meth?
Well, I did that outside of jail.
Oh, okay.
That's what got me in there.
Cool.
But, like, the whole religion thing, you know, like, I would go in there and be like, fuck, I tried out, you know? And it's... It wasn't...
It's just not for
me. I tried it. Like, I genuinely did, and you saw. I tried to be up there every fucking day, and, like...
I tried it when I was, like, 12.
It just didn't work.
And I gave up.
And then I just thought to myself, I was like, oh, that's why I never went back.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with what...
It works for some people.
Whatever,
some
man.
People it gives comfort to, but me, I find comfort...
Comfort.
I like comforts built out of my own imagination.
You feel me?
But more specifically, I like the magical idea of science proving what's going on in the world. And, you know, even like theoretical physicists like kind of just guessing at what the fuck is going on in this quantum realm, and like the real shit that could be possible, not the stuff that was written thousands of years ago by other religions like paganism and then redone and redone and rewritten and shit on and stepped on and fucking flip-flapped until a pile of shit came out, and then this happens from that. Like, what the fuck? Why? I doubt that the Bible was written so that when some tweaker went to jail,
see, I don't know,
and
why.
He read it, and then he's like, I'm going to write this fucking book, which is basically just tweak Bible.
The biggest thing that gets me is meth equals sorcery. Know the truth. Go ask somebody if you're curious.
And,
what is meth like, sir, if you don't mind my asking?
And what's weird is that everybody knows it's bad, but he's not telling you what an actual tweaker's life is like at all.
No, I could do that right now.
We've already done it. We've done it 50 different times, but it's a much bigger thing than something that can fit into a book. And it's not something that can be explained with all these very shaky, fucked up metaphors that he's trying to use that were all thrown through a filter of Jesus.
Well, if you weren't amazed before, just
let me see
prepared.
If I'm amazed.
Satan and his party of demons, devils, and evil spirits are using meth to accomplish their goals during these times. I'm sure they are. It's helpful. I'm just kidding.
It's so fucking crazy.
Hold on, I'm not even
Take responsibility.
Yet. Wake up. See the truth, and the truth will set you free. Don't let this hold you in bondage for one more second. The power you think you feel is absolutely nothing compared to the freedom and power of walking with... Are you ready?
God.
The Holy Ghost.
Oh, fuck me, man. It's all the same guy, dude. The Holy Trinity,
bro. Sorcerers,
bro.
That was chapter 10. Sorcerers.
Chapter 10, sorcerers. It's,
It explains so much.
It's crazy. Oh, I gotta read the synopsis on the back, before we get too far into this thing.
And, like, I know we're making fun of this thing, like, a little bit, because we're kind of going through it as, like, we're reading it and kind of making fun of it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of hard not to.
It's ridiculous because it's this can't help somebody who isn't completely delusional with visions about Christ. A person like me or like him and a lot of people that I knew, like, yeah, you can have faith in a higher power, whatever you want to do, it's totally fine, whatever helps you get through the fucking day or get through your life. But when you make it so hardcore that even people who are hardcore Christians would read this and be like,
this is madness.
Jeez, what is this? This is crazy. You're just saying Satan's doing all this shit. It's people are bad.
Oh.
Why can't it just be people can sometimes be bad?
And
it doesn't matter who the fuck they are.
People make shitty decisions sometimes.
Exactly. But some people, you know,
are just shitty.
Some people are just shitty.
Are just shitty decisions. Damn.
Jeffrey Epstein, fuck kids. Jeffrey Dahmer, ate dudes.
What's up?
And tried to eat a little Filipino boy, I think. He was 14. Yeah. Ted Bundy killed kids and ladies and stuff. people are bad sometimes.
Yeah.
Those are more evil than guys who smoke meth. Let's be fucking real here.
These people are just lost their way, man.
They got a problem. That's what it is. They don't need to make it, they're fucking evil if they sell dope. They're Satan. No, they're not. They're dudes who got caught up in a bad situation. Now they're cooking meth because that's all they've got.
Yeah.
And everyone else abandoned them who are worth a shit. And they're stuck. They're stuck. So the synopsis to this, I read the first like line and a half and I was like, hilarious.
Dude, but like the most sad thing about like this whole cooking meth thing is like these people are either going to prison or they're
gonna blow up
die
and die
in flames.
yeah. Inspired to write this book, I believe Steve Box has successfully revealed the truth about methamphetamines and whom and what is behind the great deception, enslaving millions each year and destroying minds and lives throughout America. He shares how he has survived many near-death experiences only to repeat old mistakes until that truth was revealed and the battle for his soul was won. His strength and spirit was born out of his weaknesses. Wisdom was gained from his pain and suffering, and his whole life was restored by God. Through his restoration, he has been given the knowledge to help others who walk the same rocky road he once traveled. These truths are revealed appropriately. Through the many references to scripture from the Holy Bible. Give the truth a chance in your life, for you are not alone. I recommend you read this book.
I recommend.
Sheriff Ron Dorge.
Is his name?
Yeah, something like that.
You didn't even say his name. You didn't even say Steve's name right, which is very upsetting.
Steve Box. Steve Box speaks with an authority that only comes from a Holy Spirit experience. So he absolutely does not reveal the truth about methamphetamines and whom or what is behind this great deception. There's no deception going on here. It's been very well documented and spoken by many ex-addicts and current addicts. That meth is terrible and it'll ruin your life and teeth and skin and hair and face.
People who don't know about this stuff can literally look that stuff up.
Of course.
On YouTube.
Goggle Vice exists.
Vice does all that stuff about, which
or they
awesome.
Could look up, you know, the SFU podcast.
Yeah, they could check.
They could look at the SFU podcast and be like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Drugs are bad. And that's, you know, we're not just here to tell people that drugs are bad. We're here to help people who are in recovery and you know, loving it and doing it right, and they're killing the game.
Yeah,
but it's also for people who are struggling in recovery or struggling with addiction or someone in your fucking family, or you're just interested in why would somebody. Because I get that's one question from people who have never done drugs that I've always gotten so much of. And it was always, why? Knowing what you know about it, why would you go and do it? And there's no good answer for it. But it's once you do it, something inside of you either dies or comes full force. And there's something driving you to that being the only thing that you want.
It's like this me right here is crushed down into like a little ball. In a little fetal position, and then this like darkness grows slowly but surely. It takes over your body.
It goes whoosh.
It makes
whooshes.
It does.
Oh shit.
Shut up, dude.
It goes. It's like bubble guts. That's the evil creep. The evil. It's Satanus. Lucifer. Beelzebub.
Oh my God.
You know
stop.
What I mean?
Yeah. Stop, dude.
It's fucking what's the Spanish one?
El Diablo.
That's him creeping up on you, dude. And to make this claim in here that people who use meth are evil, this is the exact fucking thing that needs to be worked on in the community of drug addicts in recovery, is the stigma on drug addicts is now being portrayed as drug addicts are fucking evil they're inhabited by Satan himself, and they walk this earth just to wreak havoc and destroy the word of God.
My mom told me that one night when I got home. I got home after a couple days of not being there. I was up still.
Of course.
It was like 4 in the morning, and I'm like, Mom, open the door.
I'm good.
And she opened the door, and she looked at me, and she's like, you need to get the fuck out of my house because you got, like, a devil in you. And I was like, am I really going to sleep outside tonight because I'm just on meth? Like, like, can I go to bed?
Evil.
She's like, no, you need to go.
But, yeah, that's tough love, and I get that.
That.
But it's, you know.
I was tweaking at the time, so I was like, is she serious? Is there something, like, what is she? I'm looking at, like.
I look fucking great.
What the fuck is she talking about? Yeah.
And then now you know that you look like a spooky ghost man.
God damn it. I'm gonna have to put that up now, bro.
Yeah, the picture that we've talked about it many times. It has to come out when I get my new phone. When I get my new phone on the 16th, you'll have to send me that picture. I'll make a good meme out of it.
Oh my god!
And you'll get fucking famous, dude. You'll be on that Where Are They Now? The meme superstar
right
shit
right here, bam, in your garage.
The crazy ex girlfriend. Yeah, that'd be fucking sick. You're gonna get wicked famous, bro. Dude, you're gonna get fucking wicked famous, dude. It's gonna be legit.
Look at this pile.
Yeah.
Holding a child.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a picture of greasy ass Juan with just looks like he has gray eyeshadow on.
All over my face.
Yeah,
body.
All over his face and body. It's kinda yellowy, greeny, but around his eyes it's real dark. And he's holding a babby.
Yeah.
Who was it? Was
Roxy.
It was Roxanne.
She was like a year.
Was she a year? She looked really small. I think you might be mistaken on that.
Because
from what I remember, it looked like a very small babby. So if she was a year, she was a tiny human with very tight pants.
Toit pants.
Very toit.
Oh, there I am.
Diaper.
Yeah, she was like.
Oh, okay, yeah. She's probably getting close to a year right there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's nuts. So that's what, 7 years ago or something like that? 6 years ago?
Yeah, like 5 years now? She's six already. I think.
Okay.
Or she's going to be six. I think. Come on, man.
Whatever. It's
get it together.
Something like that. I it doesn't matter that much. So we covered the did we really cover it? The depression of becoming a statistic again, losing a job during a pandemic, although it was only for a half hour, but I got a new job. And then it's like the feeling of even like abandonment, like,
yeah,
I gave so much to this person and this company, and then to be treated like just shit, literal shit. Just, it took everything in me to not curse him out and burn the fucking place down, piss in his face, you know, punch his wife, whatever I was gonna do. I don't know, that was the problem. I mean, I liked his wife, but he really fucked me, man. And that happened to a lot of people. And now, I mean, I always felt bad, but now I really fucking, I feel for the people who actually lost their fucking jobs. Not the people that didn't have a job and they just applied for unemployment because whatever.
Yeah.
And just drained the economy more than it already has been. But the people who actually put their fucking time into a place only to be like, sorry, bud. You fucking screwed, dude.
Leave.
Yeah. To leave Erickson Day. To be on the receiving end of some shit like that is so fucked up. And it's still kind of going on. Yeah. You know what I mean? And hopefully I'll be taking this guy.
Well, you're going to.
Yeah, I'm taking this guy with me. So fuck you. You lost another worker, you piece. Now they'll be real fucked.
Saw, dude.
Because that's my new life goal. I know it's, you know, it's bad to have grudges and revenge and all this stuff, but it's fun for me, so leave me alone.
Yeah, it's not really gonna happen.
I mean, I do want to ruin the company. I want to, you know, I want to take the workers from them so they can't fulfill their contracts. That's all. That's all I want. Who cares? It's a little thing. He's got money. He'll be fine. He didn't give a shit about anybody else.
He could roof it.
Sure. Sure. 40 contracts. He can fulfill those.
Yeah.
You know? That's all I'm saying. But if anybody feels worthless or shit on by another person, just think it's because they suck. Never take anything personally that comes from somebody else, because why the fuck would you care what another person thinks or has to say about you or what you do? Because only you know if you care, and only you know if you're doing a good job. And if you know you're not doing a good job, then you don't take it seriously. Who gives a shit? But if you know you're doing a good job and someone says you don't, fuck them. They're not shit. Exactly. They're not shit.
Yeah.
And that's my main message. And that's the main thing I took out of this whole fucking thing. And for it being the first thing I had to deal with, you know, that was that big of a deal for me while being in recovery, I'm proud of myself. And I'm sure, you know, other people that know me are proud of me for not going off on the wrong path and doing the wrong shit, because it was a very good reason to do it. And it's like they say, you know, you have to choose every single day to remain sober. And I didn't have to even make that choice.
That's the scariest thing about that. It's like something in a split second, in just a moment, and you're like, cool, my life's ruined.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I got to a point where it's not the first thought in my head.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew that I tipped the scale. I tipped the scale on relapses on this side, and the right choice, whatever it may be at the time, is on the other side, and the right choice is finally winning over relapse, because relapse always leads down fucking hill. It never
relapse
ends up in a good
place.
Relapse
has been on my mind ever since the divorce.
Of course.
Shit, everything like that.
Yeah, see, that was your
right
big thing, and luckily you have, you know, probation and your parents, and I've been around. You have a job, so those good things.
For now,
you
know.
Still have your kid.
Yeah.
So
I got Deuce.
Yeah.
Deuce,
so that's
of those fuckers.
Well, you have three technically.
Thrice.
Yeah, I was like, you only have two. Would you kill one?
Well, I have two of them with me.
Yeah,
at all
two
times.
Are with you all the time, which is fucking great. So yeah, you got to find things that can keep you happy and keep your mind off of shit.
Like,
always got to stay strong.
I feel like if you wouldn't have gotten that job, like the way I felt, because there was times where I was just like, fuck, going through my head and just kind of losing it, because I'm like, I need to figure something out. I feel like if I were in your position and I had to find a job and it wasn't happening right then and there, I would have started freaking out. Like, what the fuck am I going to do?
I knew that I have multiple backup options. It's just a lot of them I wouldn't prefer. I got the one. I knew I could get it, first of all, but it was my first choice when that happened. So it was the first thing that went into my head. I was like, I'm going to go straight to this place. I already fucking know. And my wife called my father-in-law and talked to him, because he works there. He called them ahead of time, and they already told him, like, oh, that guy wants to come back here? Fuck yeah, we'll hire him. And I mean, so yeah, it worked out for me, and it's not working out for a lot of people, but it will.
Yeah.
Like,
things get
definitely
better.
Yeah, definitely don't take the two bad routes, which is, you know, just ending shit. And
now you have two people you could hit up if you ever
get
there.
My phone's broken right now, like I said, but
well, yeah,
you could still message the Instagram. And I'll get the message on the, like, coming up on Tuesday, I think, is the 16th.
Yeah. And for the people who have hit us up and messaged me, like, there's been two people who have messaged me. Hi. Hope you're doing all right.
Yeah. I've gotten a few, and we always appreciate it. It's always good to see people actually pay attention or listen or care. We're going to try to start getting people who have reached out to us on Instagram. We're trying to get those people to get on the schedule to come on soon to talk to us so we can start hearing the stories from the community that we're talking to and talking about and that we are a part of. It's a community that's across the entire world. There's recovering addicts everywhere, and that's a good thing that we have a common bond.
It'd be like
throughout our, you know, all different walks of life and nationalities and whatever the fuck else there could possibly
like that
be.
That would be like our SFU happy hour.
Yeah,
which is ironic because
I want to try to get. I definitely want to try to get a few people on, even if it's for a half hour or whatever we can do. There's really no time limit. We're gonna talk until, you know, we've gotten their story. We know what the fuck's up. We know how they went through recovery, what they're recovering from.
I have a very specific guest in mind, and I'll bring it up. But I already have.
Steve Buscemi? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, we already tried. He won't come on.
God damn it.
He's not returning my messages.
But yeah, I was.
Steve Jobs either. So. Oh, he's dead. That's why. I just remembered that. I was hitting him up. I wanted to say, why doesn't the iPhone ever change? That was the only question I had for him. But I kind of already know. So, that was episode 31.
31.
31.
Thank you.
You know, super Spanish I am. So,
sound like Yoda.
Super Spanish I am.
Twice now.
Damn, I'm good. But yeah, go ahead and click subscribe. You can like the video. That would be awesome. Please leave comments. Go to stillfuckingup_pod on Instagram. Go to Lego666 underscore or Juan
underscore SFU.
Hit up those things on Instagram. I believe it's SFU Podcast on Twitter. You can also hit us up there. But message one of us or comment on our shit or comment on the YouTube video. Please spread the word
and give us suggestions on what to talk about, because
absolutely that's main thing.
Forgetting a lot of suggestions that you
yeah have. And it's kind of hard to remember. There's so much that could be talked about. We would like to be, you know, guided by the people who are going through
guided
it, maybe
the
more yeah they may be more fresh in recovery than we are. We've been in it for over a year each. So we might need a little tune-up on what's actually popping in the streets,
poppin',
as the kids say. What's poppin'?
See this
so,
thing?
Damn.
I'm going to use it later.
So, yeah. Go ahead and hit us up. Hit that subscribe. Go ahead and flick the light. See, that's what nobody says. Go ahead and flick the subscribe button.
Yeah. Ooh.
Flick it real quick.
Gently, though.
And thank you for watching or listening to the Still Fucking Up Podcast.
So like Nickelodeon.
Remember
that?
Oh yeah.
Still fucking up. Still fucking up. Fucking no.